Our God is an awesome God. Our God is the kind of Father who takes what you and I would throw away and brings it to his heart, cleanses it, and uses it for his glory. I believe that when we begin to comprehend the majesty of the Creator, and we look, we see his creation. There's nothing, absolute nothing, that our God can't do. Yet we have a tendency to look only to the natural. Very few take the time to look to him. The hunger that he's created in us for him is an answer to our prayer that he would coordinate us to become sons of the living Father. And not just say it's possible, but to really look at why he sent his firstborn son. When he sent his firstborn, he gave us an example of what could be done for those who would consider the bread of life, not just an ordinary bread. But my son visited with me, and we were alone in the living room, two of us sitting in front of each other. And I began to speak, and he went like this. And he began to describe four angels. He saw them. Two in the back, one on each side. They had their large swords, double-edged swords. Thank you. All right. What does it mean? What does it mean? A double-edged sword cuts in both directions. And it's also the Word of God, where God is sharper than any two-edged sword, to separate both the bone from the marrow, dividing the spirit from the soul. Many, many times when the Lord gives us visions or a word, we don't comprehend it right away. And if you're like me, you're quite nosy. You want to know what its meanings are. You want to know, Lord, what are you really trying to get me to understand? And for many years, I didn't understand the Lord has his own language. He has his own picture language. And as well as things that he does that, let's say, baffle the brain. But it is the privilege of a man to search out. And it's God's joy to watch us search. For that, for a long time, I thought that was, kind of unkind on his part that he would let us go digging and digging and digging and, like, why can't you just give me up front, and, you know. But he enjoys us searching for him. He enjoys our hunting capacity, our searching capacity. And he wants that developed more and more as the body of Christ matures. Now, not that the questions are always answered right away, but he wants also the coordinates of the body to start working for each other, with each other. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? I had a 2.5-hour conversation with someone this morning. And in this conversation, there was a freedom that has developed between myself and this gentleman. And he is now learning to trust that the Spirit of God is the same in the prophets of the Lord. Now, you say, well, are you advertising who you are? I'm advertising that the Spirit of prophecy has used me and can use me and has full permission to do that whenever he pleases. Now, many of you have discernment that's developing. And this is what's happening in this gentleman. There's a discernment, there's an understanding of spiritual forces and spiritual dreams and what they mean and spiritual words of knowledge that come out of him. And then how do I live with this on an everyday life? How do I adapt myself to what God is trying to tell me when I don't really understand? And of course, I've been at it for a long time now, so I have a little more wisdom than I used to. I have a little more than I used to. That's all. It's not a, woo, I'm already there. I wish I were. I'm not. I'm digging just like the rest of you from different levels for different reasons and in different seasons. So, you know, my heart to help this gentleman understand the impact of some of the things that he saw happening to himself and the fruits of that by giving him a little more insight into the next level of God's development of him. He says, you have no idea how comfortable it is to be able to unload these questions without being judged, without being criticized or looking down on. Because he says, I don't have that sense that you're trying to play the part of superiority. How many know sometimes you ask a teacher something and you just feel like, eh. Well, many years ago, I had asked the Lord, I says, if you ever have a desire to use me, let me be as clear as I can be so that even a child will be able to catch on. If I can convey a message that a child can catch on, then I'll be a useful tool in the body of Christ. Because you see, there's a scripture that says that the disciples tried to pull the kids away from the Lord. And what happened when the Lord corrected them? He told them, I need the children. Let the children come. And my joy is to watch the children be changed. Now, is that just little kids in the natural? I believe spiritually, many of us are little kids. Amen? And we need to be loved, we need to be kissed, we need to be held, we need to be all those things. And I don't care how old the person is, that little child is still inside. Not childish, but that little child that needs affection is real and needs to be received. And that really blesses me. I thank you for the visions. Thank you for the words of knowledge that God has provided. And I want to take you with me to a little bit of a word that the Lord provided this morning, and I want to have you come with me to John chapter 8. Now, in John chapter 8, our Lord is having quite a conversation with some of the saints. And we're going to kind of take a peek at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants." So watch now their focus. They are going to advertise who they are. Isn't that kind of neat? "And have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" So they don't see themselves in slavery, so who needs freedom? Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." How do you like that? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. Here he's giving quite a piece of information. Because, you see, if you believe that the Lord is telling them the truth, there's a piece of information here that you and I can glean from. Have you ever seen yourself sin? How many have some pet sins that keep visiting? Thank you. I call them pet sins because I can't get rid of them. They're like a nasty pet. And they're constantly visiting when I don't want them. But I am so in tune to their seduction that I fall in the same hole over and over and over. And God is saying, "Do you see your slavery? Do you see what you're doing? If I begin to see what I'm doing, can I begin to change it? If I don't see myself as a slave, then can I claim that I'm free?" So Jesus is telling them, "You have no idea the kind of slavery you're into, but I want to set you free. But if you think you're already free, you are never going to get free. Because your concept is that you are free." Watch them. "I tell you the truth," verse 34, "everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family," meaning the family of God, "but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. Now they're defending themselves. Amen? "If you were," listen to carefully, "if you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. If you are a son of a father who has always given you a bad example, is it normal for you to continue in those bad examples? Because you've been trained. I had a father who made some mistakes. And I made a decision when I was a teenager. I don't want to be like that.
Okay? I made the decision. Now, are the weaknesses in me that were in him? Yes, there are. Many of them are. Maybe not all, but some. And I remember one day being very angry at my father because of his alcoholic problems and his selfish ways and what he was doing. And by this time, I'm 37 years old and I'm angry. And I'm not putting up with this father guy anymore. And God had a plan to change me. His plan wasn't to change my father first. His plan was to change me first. And as I kept thanking the Lord, because I had risen prison to praise, how many took prison to praise home? Good. Did you break the book open?
Well.
Huh?
Alan
has. Great. Prison to Praise by Relly Carruthers is an awesome book for those of you who are listening to us on the internet. You might consider getting yourself a copy. It's a good book. And it'll change your heart, change your life. And that's what was happening to me. God was making me read this book, and now I was putting one particular scripture to work. And it was concerning my father and my mother, who were my biggest burdens at the time. They were my biggest irritation, because everything revolved about them and their choices to decide to kill themselves slowly, using booze and legal drugs. It was a wonderful decision they made. It wasn't wonderful in my eyes, but it was a wonderful decision because they were getting rid of their pain. Okay? And it was their privilege, but I didn't want them to have that privilege. I wanted to see them like they used to be. Free. But they weren't free anymore. The slavery had increased to the point that they were no longer able to control themselves. And the Lord said to me, Kim, it's the same demon that's using you that's using your father. I flipped out. It can't be God. There's no way that it can be the same devil that's destroying my father that's destroying me. He says, yes, and you both inherited it from the same father. I want to blow up. I wanted to blow up. I wanted to scream. In fact, I believe I did. And I began to expound my anger. And as I did, I began to hear inside my heart, do you see what you're doing now? And you know what? I sounded just like my father when he was having a fit trying to straighten me out. It was so ugly that I began to weep. And as the tears were rolling down my cheeks, I said, God, maybe it is a sin. No, not it is. Maybe it is. You understand? I wanted to give room for God to change his mind. I really did. I was hoping to change his mind. Maybe it's the same devil destroying Dad and me. Maybe. I held on to that maybe at least 2 or 3 days. I wanted to hold on because I was hoping that by some magical way that I could get off the hook. That I would get out of my slavery without repentance. You like that jail, huh? Yeah. You been here, girl? The Lord is so kind. He let me get away with the baby for a while. And then all of a sudden, he's starting to tighten up the screws. How many know he knows how that is? And as he tightened up, I began to see more and more of me. And what was using me, and I really had to admit that I was a slave. And when I did, I began to weep and I said, son, I got it. I don't want that thing in me anymore. I don't want it to be using me anymore. And at the more that I began to see what it had done to me, I saw the similitude in my father. I saw the way he would defend himself, going over and over, and it got bigger and bigger, and I said, oh my God, he was right. I didn't want him to be right. Did you ever ask God, hopefully he's going to be wrong? But he was right. And you know what? There was one day, driving down the same highway, saying the same prayer, God, I thank you for my dad just the way he is. He said, now you pray for his victory. Wow, he's old enough to pray for himself. Now, you guys have never done that, but I did. Yeah, stick out. The Lord said to me, I thought you understood that you were now a new creation. Yes, and what do you want me to do with it? I like it the old way. But you understand, he was cajoling me, trying to get me to change my heart. And as I began to change my heart and began to repent for my dad, I took on a little bit of his sin. Not a lot, just a little. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to kind of forgive dad because just can't understand him, but I guess you do. And as I let go of that prayer, it got a little easier. And then he said to me, are you ready to hear which demon is using your dad and you? I thought about it. I wasn't really quite ready to hear. I wanted some time just in case. I really did. I said, but I'll do your will, Lord. I'll say yes. And he said, pride has kept you from humbling yourself. And pride has kept him from admitting his guilt. And so while you're both so proud, Satan's having a field day with both of you. And he's destroying both of you. That's why every time you try to communicate with him, he goes out the front door when he sees you walk into the back door. Why he can't forgive you? Because he cannot bow. He cannot really bow because he doesn't want to. Because that spirit is using him like it's using you. Well, to make an awesome long story short, because this was a long situation. Many, many months went by. Finally, the Lord brought my dad and I to the same building for a three-day time of prayer. God impacted me the very first night. Took me on a journey in the realm of the Spirit. And I began to weep, and some healing came. And the next day, I went to my dad's room, and I knocked on his door, and I said, Dad, I need to communicate with you. I'd like you to forgive me for what I had to do when you were mentally challenged. He looked at me. He says, you see that door you just came in? Go out. I don't want to talk to you, and I'm not forgiving you. Don't even think about it. The tears rolled out of my eyes. I began to pray in tongues. Because you see, I didn't want my brain to keep on going. Saturday night I went back and I asked him again. And he said, no, I told you, you will never be forgiven. And I wept some more and didn't sleep until the wee hours of the morning. The next day was Sunday and we were heading back home. And one more time after the service was closing down, I went over to him And I said, Dad, have you reconsidered? He says, I told you no! Walked away, and I said, Lord, now what do you want me to do? And he said, fast and pray. You want to break it? Fast and pray. For that kind will not leave until you decide that you want him free. And when you free him, you'll be freeing yourself. Job. When you pray for the ones that can't stand you, I will lift you up. So I began my fast. I'm not exactly sure how many days, but there was one day in the midst of the week, I don't know whether it's Thursday or Friday, but I said to my wife, you're in charge of the store, I'm leaving. And I don't know what time I'm coming home, so don't even wait up for me. But it was around 2 in the afternoon. I drove over to my dad's house. I parked my car sideways in the driveway so he wouldn't be able to escape. I walked into the door. He looked at me and he said, what are you doing here? And I'm here, Dad, to hear one word. I'm here because I need your forgiveness. I'm not talking to you and I will not. So don't even think about it. And I said, Dad, I'm not leaving until you forgive me. We'll talk about this some other time. He says, or else I'm leaving. And he grabs his keys, and then he gets to the door, and he can't leave. He throws his keys on the floor, or on the table, I don't remember which, and walks out the front door, and he starts walking. And I said to my mom, it's time for us to pray. So we sat at the kitchen table, and we began to intercede in the spirit, and all of a sudden, 20 minutes, an hour, I don't know how long, he walks back in. His head's kind of down. He says, I told you, go home. I said, Dad, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm prepared to stay the night. And tomorrow as well. He says, you're more stubborn than I am. I said, Dad, I have made a commitment that I and you will see the victory of the Lord today. He says, and what do you want to talk about? You've got to remember, he was about 5'5", and I'm 6 feet. I knelt down in front of him, because he had sat down, and I began to explain what his illness had done to him. I don't want to hear it, he said. I've forgotten. That's all past now. It's all I'm on. He argued. And I said, Dad, I'm telling you, you had no choice. Your illness was so deep, you lost the ability to think. I had to take away your finances. I had to take away your home. I had to take away your ability to function as a man and got your disability. Why do you think you get a disability check every month if you weren't disabled mentally? Well, I don't remember right now. I said, Dad, I still had no choice. Now, I know that you're much better, but would you forgive me for what you said you can't do? Because you can do with the Lord. Well, you know the scriptures and you advertise and you. And I said, Dad, I'm going to remind you of the prayer that you taught me when I was this high. He said, and what prayer is that? I said, the Lord's Prayer. And it's very clear. You shall be forgiven in the same way that you forgive others. And I began to hear a little break in his voice. Because the enemy was losing. And I knew it. And I said, would you pray it with me? No. I don't want to. I says, is that you, Dad? Or is that the pride that's holding you like it held on to me? What pride? I says, the same pride that won't allow you and I to communicate as men of God. He says, why did you say it that way? I said, either you are or you aren't. Either you belong to the Lord or the devil's using you like he used to use me. Because if there was a function in the family, you went to the function, I didn't. If I went, you didn't. Why? Because we couldn't stand each other because of pride. And because of stubbornness. So it went on, and truthfully, I believe it was around 7 that night. He walked out of that door 3 or 4 times. He went down the street. He came back. And there I was with Mom interceding in the spirit. We didn't eat. We waited. And finally, he said the words that I needed to hear. And they were words that he needed to speak. He was in his recliner. Tears were rolling out of his eyes. And I was kneeling in front of him, begging him, asking the Holy Spirit to just flow through him those words that needed to be spoken. And when they came out, we both wept. He took me in his arms, and I felt like a 6-year-old. And the joy of the Lord hit us both. The joy of the Lord was so awesome that day that I never want to regret. Talking about it even now. You know, I don't regret my father's hurts. I don't regret my own sin, because out of that place of pain came grace. Out of that place of hurt and woundedness came a joy so unspeakable and a healing between us that was so needed and so necessary. Is it possible to be a slave for years? I was a slave for years. Is it possible to become a son? Yes. Is it possible to be transformed? Yes. But you're going to have to walk on that pride and speak the words that need to be spoken and forgive those that need to be forgiven. No matter how deep the hurt is, no matter how many years, it's been in progress. You say, are you sure? I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants. Yet you are ready to kill me. You see, those were some of the words he told me. There's something in me that wants you dead. You can be my son right now, but I can't stand what you are, because those words are hurting something inside of me. Yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my words. I lived that experience. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that God is that you do not belong to God. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by demons," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." I'd like to fast forward 10 years. I had 10 years of joy with my dad. I had 10 years of awesome victories. I had 10 years of a wonderful love affair. We were spending quality time with both Mom and I and him. In 1988, the Lord told me he was going to take my dad home. Didn't want to hear it. I really didn't want to hear it. So I went over to Roby and had my dad's picture in my pocket. He said, Roby, I need to know if I'm nuts. Tell me. But what does this picture say to you? And he took 1 second to look at the picture. And he said, "Oh, everything's going to be fine, Kim." And I said, "Don't break me off." Robbie was a man that I respected. He was my teacher. He's a fabulous assistant pastor to Gino. I enjoyed him tremendously. I said, "If you can't speak, will you at least acknowledge what I have in my heart? If it's true and you can confirm it, then it's okay." He says, "Okay." I said, "This is my dad's picture. The Lord has told me that he's taking him home and it won't be too long." And out of his mouth came these words, "Kim, your father's going to do more for you on the other side than he's ever been capable of doing on this side because of hindering forces." And that's when I began to understand in a sense. That's when I began to understand that they are present in the body of Christ. That they are doing things that you and I could never do, because of the freedom of the realm of the Spirit. Would you please get up? Join hands. Father, these words that have given to me have comfort you to the best of my ability. But now they need to impact these that are hurting. Not only in this room, but all over the world. Wherever this word is listened to, Father, by your Spirit, touch and counsel and pour out your grace upon those that need to forgive. And those that need to repent because they were filled with pride and self-defense. I ask for your Holy Spirit to comfort them and to counsel them and to bring healing into their hearts, that they would be men and women. Rather than be slaves, they would walk into sonship. Father God, I believe with these tonight to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, if the spirit of pride has used me, and kept me from receiving healing, I repent for it. I'm asking for grace. And for mercy. Not only for myself, but for those who were injured because of my pride. Or the pride that used me.
Or used them.
Lord Jesus, forgive. Me first. Pour your blood upon me. Wash away my sin of pride. And cleanse me of all unrighteousness.
And all this self-defense.
Lord, I know what it feels like to try to defend myself. It's really the spirit of pride using my mouth. I confess it is sin tonight. And I'm asking you to wash me and my heart clean of all this self-defense. And Lord Jesus, please fill my heart with mercy and compassion for those that are different than me. Maybe more wounded than me. Because I couldn't see. Keep opening my eyes. Keep opening my heart. And speak to me. Commission me to do whatever I need to do. With whomever it is that I need to deal with.
In
Jesus' name. It's going to be done by grace. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be done by grace. I need lots of grace. And it's mine in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because without grace, we're not going to make it. Look around now. Say, I'm going to be praying for you this week. As much as the Lord shows me.
I will be praying.
So that you will be victorious. Because you're coming out of slavery now.
Amen?
Amen. And amen.